Well, I really thought I had a quick escape there. And can I say that this is the low-tech version of what Jamie has shared? So. It has been said that John's gospel is simple enough for a child to read and complex enough to tax the powers of the greatest mind. As one commentator has put it, this book is like a pool in which a child may wade and an elephant may swim. Nearly every word of John 17 comes from the mouth of Jesus. So, of course, my first source is John's Gospel. But my second has been J.A. Carson, an academic who studied this Gospel for 8 years and wrote the Farewell Discourse and Final Prayer of Jesus. Before I move on to Jesus' prayer, I would like to make 2 points. The first is that throughout John's Gospel, and indeed the other Gospels, Jesus is trying to prepare his disciples for his death and his departure. And he's acutely conscious of his Father's will and timing. For example, when he's urged to go to the Feast of the Tabernacle in John 7, he replies, "Go up to the feast on your own. Your time is always at hand, but my time has not yet come." The second point I want to raise is that John's Gospel does not record the agony of Jesus in Gethsemane. However, for me, the important point to make is that in Gethsemane, in the hour of his greatest agony, Jesus reached the same conclusion: not what I will, but what you will. Perhaps this is one of the greatest and hardest lessons we must learn in prayer. As C.S. Lewis has said, in Gethsemane, the holiest of all petitioners prayed 3 times that a certain cup might pass from him. It did not. The final prayer of Jesus is divided into 3 sections, and I will keep to this pattern. Isn't it interesting that Jesus' first prayer is for himself? And we should never be ashamed to pray for ourselves. But what a contrast we have here. This prayer is so short, and what does he pray for? Yes, for glory. The word glory appears 8 times in John 17. But what is this glory? First slide, please. The first 2 bullet points The first 2 bullet points summarize Jesus' mission, his mission to bring the knowledge of the Father and the Son to those given him, and to complete his earthly work. The second 2 talk of the glory shared with the Father and his desire to share this glory with us. What an amazing prayer. Jesus makes clear that the glory he is asking for is not the glory of the world, but the glory of the revelation of God's love for us. Jesus knows without doubt that all this can only be accomplished by way of the cross. Henri Nouwen writes, Jesus' unconditional yes to his Father had empowered him to drink his cup, not in passive resignation, but with the full knowledge that the hour of his death would also be the hour of his glory. His yes made his surrender a creative act, an act that would bear much fruit. Secondly, Jesus prays for his disciples. We know that Jesus prayed often, often alone. In this, his high priestly prayer, he prays for those who have been specifically given him, his disciples. J.A. Carson says, Jesus came to make God known. His followers have received his revelation. They believe that Jesus is God's revelation of himself. God has given him these disciples and followers out of the world. They have chosen to obey and follow Jesus. But they are not the mature believers they would become. What can we learn about prayer from Jesus? Firstly, Jesus always prays from a place of unity with the Father, and he reminds his Father of this often. Think of John chapter 15, which is full of the unity of the Father and the Son. Here in John 17, he says, they were yours. You gave them to me. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. I'm coming to you now. Wow. He refers back so often to what God has given him to do. For instance, I gave them the words you gave me. I wonder, when we pray, do we remind God of his word to us and the work we feel called to do? He prays for the unity of his disciples. This is not a prayer for uniformity, but for love and acceptance and concord between his followers. We are all different in so many ways, and that is wonderful. These disciples are to remain in the world, but he wants them to have his joy. In the world, they will have much trouble, but there is strength in joy and purpose and connection to the living God. And he wants them to have this joy. Jesus also prays for their protection. I wonder who God has given you to love, protect, and pray for. We do have a sense of those who are given to us, not only family, but those with whom we have a special relationship. A very special group of people for me is the prayer group I have been in for 20 plus years. We have been on quite a journey together. And as Mary Smith once said, we're on this journey to the end. You can imagine her saying it, can't you? Who do you pray for and with? Jesus prays for his disciples' sanctification. I did feel that J.A. Carson was being rather gracious about the disciples, who seemed like us, full of disbelief at times and confused. But they were Jesus' legacy to the world on which he built his church. And Jesus prays that they may be made clean and shaped by the word of God, which he too read and prayed with often. Are we doing the same? Jesus' final prayer is for all believers, and it's not substantially different from his prayer for the disciples. He again prays for our unity, a unity built by the Holy Spirit. Again, Jesus prays always from a position of union with the Father. In John 17:21, he prays, I pray that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. This is the unity of relationship that we are lifted into, forged by the cross and the Holy Spirit. Again, to quote C.S. Lewis, God descends to reascend. He comes down from the heights of absolute space down into humanity, down into the very roots and seabed of the nature he has created. But he goes down to come up again and bring the ruined world up with him. Before praying, I just want to summarize what we hopefully have learned from John 17. Second slide, please. Let's look at this list together, and then I will pray. Jesus gave time to prayer alone and with others. He prayed for himself, but mostly for others. He reminded God, you said, and the work you gave me to do. He prays for glory, but think about what this means for him and the cost. He prays always from a place of union with the Father. He prays for his followers' protection and joy. He prays, sanctify them by your word. He prays for his followers' unity in love. He perseveres in prayer. And finally, the hardest prayer of all, he prays, not my will, but yours be done. I'm going to close in prayer now. Lord, help us to be present, listening to you and each other. Lord, help us to abide dwell, live in you, to pay attention to you at the deepest level. Forgive our wandering minds, poor attention, and scattered thoughts. Renew our minds, bodies, and souls. By the power of your Spirit, by the power of your Word, help us to rest deeper, live fuller, being wise and loving in all we do. Amen.